We've been looking at the topic of bringing Jannah to earth, or in other words, we've been looking at how to be able to be Ahlul Jannah, those who have strived to reach their full potential, or in other words, what Allah wishes us to be. And we focused on the ayah of Quran, ayah 201 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And there are some amongst them who say, our Rabb, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Along the last few weeks, we've ascertained that we're responsible for our own actions. We also know that we require a plan of action, a strategy to work on, and for these we need to have an ideal. Having looked at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we've gleaned some qualities that we can adopt in ourselves. So the profile we build is of an individual whose physical manifestations show a body which is cared for because it is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find attire which is appropriate and words that are disciplined with no ghiba. And for the last few days we've been looking at the quality of rahmah which manifests itself in our behavior towards our parents, our choice of those whom we choose from the billions of human beings in the world to be our mates in Jannah, and our behavior with them. So we've looked at relationships, be it parents, spouse, friends or mu'mineen, within the realms of being Ahlul Jannah. Now we're going to go a little bit further. Another quality to be able to adopt within ourselves is the quality of hope, or in Arabic known as Raja'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anqabut, that is Surah number 29, Ayah 5, says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Man kana yarju liqa' Allahi fa inna ajalallahi la'at wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Whoever hopes to meet Allah, the term appointed by Allah will then most surely come, and He is the hearing and the knowing. So let's look at this. What is hope? Hope in essence is the heart's attachment to something it loves that will transpire in the future. Just if we look at fear, which relates to that which is not loved, which will happen in the future. Hope is actually believing that you have the will and the way to accomplish a goal, whatever it may be. There's a major difference between just wishing and hoping, because wishing makes you lazy, hopes makes you active. Wishing is really daydreaming in a way. Hope allows you to build up a plan of action and how to then carry on that plan. From the perspective of emotional intelligence, it actually means that where one does not give in to overwhelming anxiety, or there is no defeatist attitude, or there is no depression in the face of difficult times. So hope is that which gives us the strength to be able to think positively. There's a wonderful story in Greek mythology about Pandora. Pandora was a Greek princess who was very beautiful. And the Greek gods were jealous of her beauty, so they gave her a box, told her not to open it. Curiosity made her take a peek, and it released worldly afflictions such as disease and sadness and depression and all the rest of it. But there was one merciful God who let her close the box just in time to capture the one antidote, which is hope. And that's why we use this word, Pandora's box. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi, whoever turns to me and stops having hope in anyone but me, I will be sufficient for him. I will give to his requests an answer when he calls me. To Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he said, O Musa, I have no creation better than my believing abd. As long as you do my ibadah in the hope of meeting me with no shirk, I will forgive whatever you have done, even if you come to me with the sins as many as the earth's expanse. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is Surah number 39, Surah Al-Zumar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, incidentally, ayah 53, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا وَلَا أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. say, O my Abd, who have acted extravagantly against their own nafs, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives the faults altogether. Surely He is forgiving and He is merciful. It's so beautiful, the hope of knowing that yes, I can make it, I can be forgiven, and I can start afresh. The Prophet ﷺ said, I am surprised at a Muslim, for any of Allah's decree for him is a blessing. If he or she is torn into pieces with a pair of scissors, or on the other hand is the master of the East or West, it is a blessing for him. In other words, do your best and then hand it over to him, knowing, hoping that he is going to make it work. Look at Surah Al-Mu'min, Ayah 44. When you say, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, I entrust my affairs to Allah. Indeed, Allah overlooks or oversees over His abd. We need to use all our worldly connections through hope, not through panic or fear, and then know it will be all right. Continually remind yourself that He will never let go. You're always supported. You're always looked down upon. When we call Him in dua, assume that it's pouring forward. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you call Him, when you do dua, think and know that your request is at the door. It's impossible to do dua without hope and trust. It is impossible to have a thought that is a secret, for all energy in her is heard. See, dua and hope go hand in hand. Those who are Ahlul Jannah communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will look at the communication where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with us through the Quran. But today let's look at the communication where we have our discourses with Him, and that is through the medium of dua, which is based on hope. First of all, Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 14, Ayah 34. I mention this again and again and again. وَأَعْتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And He gives you all that you ask Him. And if you count Allah's favors, you will not be able to compute them. So let's look at the etiquettes of dua. What is this dua? First, let's look at Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 186. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذَا سَعَلَقَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my abd asks you concerning me, then surely I am very near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer the dua of the one who does dua when he calls on me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So they should answer my call and believe in me, so that he may walk in the right way. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam has said, be careful about the etiquettes of dua, paying attention as to who you are addressing. How do you beseech Him, and for what purpose is He implored? Think about the majesty and splendor of Allah. Look inside your heart. Know that He is aware of whatever is contained therein. He knows about your heart's secret, and the truth and the falsehood that is hidden therein. Be careful to identify correctly the path of your salvation or misfortune, lest you request a thing from Him which contains your destruction, while you imagine your salvation is in it. For He says in the Quran, and Imam quotes Surah Bani Israel, Ayah 11, وَيَدُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دَعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. The human being prays for evil as he prays for good, and the human being is ever hasty. Therefore, think correctly what you want from Him, and for what purpose it's required. Imam says, a dua will be accepted only if you exert absolute concentration of your entire existence towards Him, melting your heart whilst witnessing His presence, abandoning all your disposals, and absolute surrender of all affairs with sincerity to Him. So if you do not act in accordance to the above-mentioned conditions of dua, do not look forward for its acceptance, because Allah is aware of all your secrets and mysteries. Perhaps you beseech Allah for something while you know that your intention is opposite to your request. Let's look at each of the aspects that Imam has said in there. But first of all, know that the root of the word dua is da'a, which means to call. You can only call if there is inherently within you an energy which will bring about an answer. See, when we call someone for help, when we call out for anything, we only call when that being has three qualities. One, he must be able to listen. You don't call someone who can't listen to your calls. So inherently you know when you're doing dua that there is someone who listens. That being must be powerful. More powerful than you and more powerful than the predicament you're in. Otherwise you would not call upon him. And the third thing is that being must be on your side. So let's put it that way. The one whom we call is one who definitely listens, who definitely can take me out of the predicament I'm in, and who is on my side. See, from where the question comes, the answer comes. Because the caller is calling upon one entity. We're able to call because there is an energy within us in the form of life, which is the source of desire of the direction of the call. And what we are calling upon is rooted in what enables us to call. And as we think, we realize that we can only call upon the one for something which we know is realizable. And it's a development of the faculty of the intellect or reason. We've got to reach a point where the dua becomes so personal, so inward, that it elevates it. It opens and lights up our heart. Our dua to improve the outer cannot be made unless it continues in the improvement of the inner. Let me give you an example. Say for example, I did a dua for a better house. Then the intention in time will find a way of acquiring the knowledge to earn that house. And if there are expectations which are not compatible with the laws that govern existence, then it will not be achieved. Unless intention will uncover the means to the acquisition of what was asked for. The Quran is very clear on this. There must be a means for things to occur. Let's take the example of Sayyida Maryam. She had to shake the palm tree. The dates did not drop without that. So it's maximum efficiency when we know precisely how to do something and when to do it. And that is why we've got to look at this hadith that Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam has given us. So the first thing that Imam says is, know what you want. Now, he says, perhaps you beseech for something while you know that your intention is opposite to your request. And look at that ayah of Quran, وَيَدُ الْإِنسَانَ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ. The human being prays for evil as he prays for good. Sit down and think about what you're asking for first. Secondly, know, believe that he will give it to you. In fact, he will give you even better. And that's something we've got to take within us. Actually, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hands is goodness. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. He gives you whatever you ask for. Let me tell you a story that might help. There were three trees. One of the trees prayed fervently to Allah to make it a treasure chest. A treasure chest that would hold the riches of the world and would take pride in the hall of a king's palace. The second one prayed that it wanted to be a massive boat like the Titanic. It wanted to hold the rich and the famous. And it wanted to live, to be known to be a magnificent boat. The third tree prayed that it would like to reach the heavens. When the first tree was felled, it found itself in a dingy, dark back room of a very poor carpenter's shop. When it found itself there, it said, I'm never going to be the treasure chest I wanted to be. I prayed so hard for that. I made sure I looked after myself so well, but I'm never going to be that. One day, a woman came in, and she asks the carpenter to make her a box to hold one of the most precious things in the world. The box was to hold Prophet Musa alayhi salam. This was the mother of Musa. And the tree became the greatest treasure chest in the world, which held the most precious of human beings. The second tree wanted to be a famous boat, was abused at when it was felled and taken to its place of work, there were stones thrown on it, there was mockery, but it became the Ark of Noah. And the third tree, who prayed that it would like to reach the heavens, was a tree that the prophet used to lean against when he used to give his sermons. When a mimbar was made for him to sit down on, the tree cried out. The Prophet ﷺ came down from the mimbar and asked it, "What do you want?" Because the tree was whining, it was going hanana like a baby camel does when it separated from its mom. And the tree said, "I want to be with you." And the Prophet said, "You will be with me forever." When the tree died and it was buried, a pillar was raised. The pillar is known as Sutune Hanana. And every Muslim who goes to Masjid al-Nabi asks for his hajat there. The prayers reach to the heavens. This is how we believe, and we know that he will give. In fact, he will give even better. The third thing Imam says in this hadith is that you must want it desperately. Your whole existence, he says, adua will be accepted if you exert absolute concentration, melting your heart, an absolute surrender of effort. You want it so much. There was a woman who came to the Prophet ﷺ whose son was nowhere to be found, a young man who had gone away. The first time she went to the Prophet, the Prophet said, "Have sabr, inna Allaha ma sabirin." The second time she said, he said, "Have sabr, inna Allaha ma sabirin." The third time when she came, the Prophet said, "Go back home, he's there." And the companion says, "Ya Rasulullah, why couldn't you have told that to her the first time?" And he said, her dua was accepted when she wanted it with her whole being. Know your intentions. I mentioned this in the first place. Make a plan. Ask for the little things too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa, "Musa, ask me for the salt in your dough. Ask me for the shoelaces that tie your shoes, and I will give." And finally, melt your heart totally.